Be quiet.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, you guys. Hi. Hi, this is Marcia Cappuccino, Cappuccino with the Global Vision for Living Today's Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. And whoever that is, either mute your phone or hang up, because we have a show like none other, and we want to make sure you enjoy it. So whoever's rattling, sashaying around with your cell phone or your landline phone or whatever, mute it and mute it now so others can hear. A lot of people jumping on. Thank you, God. Hey, listen, today we have a show like none other, and people battle over our topic every day. And the title of this show is Should You Give a Black Pastor in America Your Tithes and Offerings? People have been texting saying, yay, you on to it. Yay, I'm going to be on the show. So whoever's interested in whether or not you should keep giving your money to a pastor or anyone that is of African American descent and you don't see nothing, you see the world getting worse, then we have a pastor, a gentleman that is with us just about every week. You guys know him, Colonel William Harrison, coming out of the D.C. metropolitan area to join us, and he's going to have some things to say. Now, don't call me and get upset, because keep in mind, whatever you hear on this show is basically our opinion. But it's coming from a Christian standpoint first. We know what we're talking about because we're guided by Scripture. We're not coming with, well, I think and I know and I do it this way and I. We don't do that. We give you the unadulterated word based on experiences backed by our opinion. So do not text me and get all worked up and upset about that. We don't know it all, and we're not trying to say we do. But now let me go a little bit further with this. The doors of many churches across America has reopened, and they're ready to move forward with the word of God. The question of the hour is whether or not they will receive financial support like they used to help make up for a lost income for churches during religious services that they would normally hold. Many who have not decided to return, say, begging and talking about and preaching about giving God a tenth or more of your earnings. I had someone call me and say, I've never seen God with his hand held out for a dollar bill. Of course, I didn't laugh. I just thanked him for calling. But we know pastors who open up the door talking about tithes and offerings, many of them are going to say that is a Bible command to tithe. Here comes somebody saying, oh, yes, yes, yes. That was in the Old Testament. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Some have asked, have Jesus tithe? Well, we're going to talk about that. But right now, we know that people don't like a lot of money going in through the front door of the church and then coming out in the shape of a Mercedes-Benz or multi-million-dollar mansion. So we're going to cover that. You know, you can always get a pretty good topic of conversation here, because the Global Vision for Living Today show doesn't owe anybody anything. The host and all of the guests, they have a right to speak what they want, because we don't hold anyone back on anything. But if you're wrong, okay, we are coming out with both guns cocked if you're wrong. We're not going to say amen and yes if you're wrong. So right now, Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Cappuccino. Listening audience, I am with you absolutely.
Hey, yay, 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 and I can hear it in your voice. Thank you so much for joining. We see them popping up on this dashboard. Wow. Okay, here we go. Colonel Harrison, should people in America and I don't know why they wanted this black thing here in it. Should people in America follow, and I'm just going to say, black ministers and pastors who teach about tithes and offerings, and they ask you to come in no matter what condition you're in and bring your tithes and offering? What is your take on that before I ask a few questions about that?
Yes, Dr. Capitino, listening audience, absolutely they should, whether it's a black pastor, black church, a white pastor, white church, or Korean, Asian, whatever. Let me just tell what a tithe is and then make a further brief comment. A tithe is one-tenth of one's gross earning. Earn $100,000 a year, one-tenth of that, we look at a $10,000 tithe. If we go back to the Old Testament, and I'll revisit this in a minute, the people who were worshiping at the tabernacle in the wilderness gave God one-tenth of the crops. The purpose of the tithe is to obey the commandment of God, not to allow the pastor to become wealthy. It's not given to the pastor. It's given to the church on behalf of God, Jehovah. So the tithe is to help number one, honor God's commandment. Number two, to help maintain the church, the upkeep of the church, the utilities, the few salaries the church may have, repairs church may have. That's what the tithe is designated to be used for in the Bible. It has to be used for a righteous purpose associated with the church, not to make the pastor rich, not to make anybody else in the church rich. God will bless the pastor if he used the tithe according to teachings in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll
mm-hmm.
bless the tithe.
So,
he'll bless the tithe. He'll bless the tither as well.
Right. This is what I'm going to say. So the paying of tithes is not just for the pastor to get a blessing, but it's for the tither or the one giving the money to give a to get a blessing. Is that what you meant to say?
Yes, yes, yes. And I added on the tail. And absolutely, the tither that gives in obedience to God's command, God blesses them. The church receives the tithe for its purpose. And those who attend the church, those who tithe, are blessed as a result of that, out of obedience to God's commandment. It's a commandment to see if we will do it. God doesn't need a 10 cents out of every dollar for me and nobody else who's a tither. God wants to see if we'll be obedient to his commandment. Then God blesses us.
Okay, well, we have a question here. It says the reverend there mentioned that the tithe is to pay utilities and to keep the church running, or whatever you said that he heard. I'm trying to rephrase his question. If a church is getting hundreds of thousands of dollars in there every year, how would one know that hundreds of thousands of dollars is used to pay their utility bills? The caller is stressing you wouldn't know that. So does it take hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay some utility bills? Well, I know I can answer that myself. No, it do not. Now, how can I say that? Say you have a small to medium-sized church, and the pastor is dynamic, and he's bringing in the members, and every time you look up, he got 200 or 300 more joining, and if he got the space, if he got the actual space to take in more. But after the electric bills or whatever bills is paid, I can say that you tend to see the pastors, you know, living really good. His wives is dressing really good. His family appears to be eating really good. He has a nice home and two or three cars. And the parishioners know he doesn't have an outside job because 9 out of 10 times he's standing saying that. Well, y'all know I'm retired and y'all know this and that. And it just goes on and on and on how much money would be asked to come in and then what it would be used for. I'm going to give you an example. My father, every month, Anybody want to know how much money was there and there and there? He didn't hide off with a few. He stood flat-footed once a month, and it took up almost half of a church service, but they would read off how much money came in, and they would read off how much money went out. And for 7 days after that Sunday, Bishop James Howard Mims would leave the church books and records open on a certain table under glass. And anybody that wasn't there, that didn't hear it all, couldn't understand what they heard, they were free to come. I think he said it was like 10 to 5 that next day, Monday through the next Sunday. But once a month he had that. And he said, you don't have to be a big shot here to walk over to that table in the downstairs basement and look at the books and records. You can account for it. And then he would say, bring your lawyer with you when you decide that's what you're going to do. So that was 100% transparency. No woman or no group of people was sitting up pompously claiming or proclaiming that they had some kind of a trust duty to do this and that. Anybody, he said, anybody can come down to the basement and go through the records. They would read them off once we, and see, people got away from doing that. I don't know if any churches do that. I know some got, you know, have meetings and they talk about what went in and where it went. And Bishop had no more than three. He never touched a dollar. He had three people take the church money to the bank. He said he would put two in one car and one file in that car. I mean, he was an African-American man way past his time, and it paid off for him, the practices. And he would ask, if anybody got a question, you can come on up to the pulpit now. He didn't try to put nothing off anything, because Bishop Mims really wasn't a phone person. You know, he wasn't. So with that said, do you think some kind of policy might help our churches today? Because I did the research. People don't want to give our black ministers nothing. And what they say and the reason they say is bone chilling. Do you think more transparency, Colonel Harrison, would be necessary, or it would just be the right thing to do, in order to let people know that their tithes and offering is coming in and what it's being used for? And again, James Mims would stand and say, I don't need nothing. I don't need your money. And he really didn't. But most pastors don't come from a legacy where it's a lot of money. But he would tell them, you guys know I don't need none of it. And he didn't. He said, he told me in all his 50 years, he never used a dime. He said things that he taught bought him in the right people that gave the right money and then turned around and said, James, Jim, this is for you. So do you think we need more transparency in the black church, if that's what we can call it now, regarding giving and tithes and offering and sharing?
Yes, the transparency should be in place, Doc. I can't imagine a pastor being true to the word of God not having transparency procedures in place. I meet once a month with the trustees of the church here in Washington,
mm-hmm.
D.C. Most
mm-hmm.
churches are mm-hmm. small community churches. Then there are medium churches.
I can't hear you. Churches. I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Most churches are, yes, there should be transparency. Those procedures should be in place, should have been in place from the day that the church opened the doors and started doing business of the Lord. Now, most churches are community, small churches, and then they're medium-sized, and they're larger church. Larger the church, the more transparency is needed. I meet with the trustee board here at the church in the Washington, D.C. area once a month. Every penny that comes in is accounted for. Then there are outreach programs that this church has where we buy prescriptions for the seniors, where we buy Thanksgiving baskets for the community, where we have a clothathon. And if someone comes with a hardship and they need a utility bill paid or they just don't have the money, or the check didn't come in, or whatever the case might be, then this church try and help with those types. Methods. We give something back to the people. We give something back to the community. It's not all taken in, and not given back. Luke says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So we account for God's money, and we also help God's people, and then God blesses those who are obedient to his commandment to tithe.
That sounds very good, because I'm going to add this. I would ask my father, I'd say, Bishop, I guess all the people is running down in the basement every week. He said, let me tell you something. Once I stood up and made that announcement, I only had to make that announcement once. And he said, I guess what I said flew through the community, because not one went downstairs and tried to look at anything. I said, how do you know that? He said, because I had two deaconess or two elders or two this and that standing there. He said, not once did, if once he said that, that was impressed, unbreakable. He said, not a one ran down there trying to look at anything. He opened it up to everybody, the great and the small. If you can read, come on down here and look. He said, never did that happen. Well, I'm very glad to hear it, because a lot of churches now do not have, I guess you call them, and you correct me, Pastor, if I'm wrong, they called them auxiliaries. I know where I came from, they just had a donation box way in the back of the hall, and if you put something in, fine. If you didn't, fine. Nobody never knew who was giving. In my 30 years with them, I never heard them ask one time for no tithe and offering. It's already in the Word. Now, they would have an article maybe once a year, but it was nothing passed around, and you are obligated to do anything. They said Jehovah is at the head of this, and he knows everyone's heart and what they're going to give or not, so why should we? And it was 12 elders in each kingdom hall. Why should we stand up and got to keep telling people about that? Never. They never did. Now, on a Wednesday and a Thursday, they had what was called a book study something. Now, they would make an announcement there. So-and-so is losing their house. So-and-so is this, this, and that. I remember one time dropping $5,000 off into a black hat. So they did help, but from the hall, it was no auxiliaries or nothing. You came in there, you heard the word of God, you answered some questions, you learned how to preach on a corner, and you got out of there. It wasn't no place of all that activity, because like they said, the more activity we put on them, the less they're going to do for God. And that's true, because I've been in a lot of ministries. I know you have too, where they got all this stuff going on, but you don't see not one of their people on the street corner. Oh, my God. He said, go ye therefore. So as far as this tithing is concerned, why do you think it's a stigma against black pastors and black, you know, it's a lot of women out there now saying they too is a pastor, which, you know, oh, well. Why do you think it's so much hatred and scorn about people giving black pastors their money in the form of tithes and offerings? Have you heard of some horror stories why some might be turned aback from giving tithes and offerings?
Yes, because there's a misunderstanding of the purpose of the tithe. Therefore, the pastor has to teach on tithe to his members and tell them what the purpose of tithing is. And I've given out, I've not only taught on it periodically, I teach every year on tithing, but I give out handouts. And those who are tithers have access to the trustee books. They can come and see it. Plus, we have biannual meetings where the financial report is given and it explains what monies were spent for what particular line item in the budget and those kinds of things. It has to be transparency. Pastor has to teach on it. It has to be a commitment to it on the members to do it. And the members have to feel that when they give 10 cents on a dollar, that it's going to benefit the church. It's not. I can't speak for other churches, but in this church that I'm blessed to oversee presently, it's not going in my pocket. It goes into the church's treasury per the instructions from the Bible, God Jehovah. And I commend the late Bishop Mims for that which he did during his tenure of 50-plus years as a pastor.
Thank you so much. But I'm going to ask the question once again. Why is it, why do some people feel that they do not want to give any money in tithes and offering to the black church? Why do a lot of people, and there's a lot on this show now that feel that way, because I'm reading the comments. Why is it, and I'm asking you, why is it people, and I guess modern day 2020, 2021, feel that they don't want to give the black pastor or the black minister anything in the way of tithes and offering? What are some of the reasons why they feel that way? If you know, I have three or four I can say, but Colonel Harrison, since you're standing every week in your pulpit or wherever you minister from, why do people, and I guess these area codes are American area codes, why do people in America feel they don't want to give them anything, that they should not give them their tithes and offerings? I'm asking the question again.
There's a perception that the pastor in the black churches get the money. That is not true. I pray in all black churches. I know it's not true in most black churches. That is a perception, and that creates a negative impression in people's mind that why I give my money to the church is going to the pastor, because they might see the pastor driving a nice car, might see him wearing nice suits, his wife, first lady, wearing nice dresses and shoes and hats and so forth and so on. That is not the case in most churches. There has to be a trust factor, and that's why tithing has to be taught on. But the perception is that the black pastor, when he gets another car, he upgrades his car, he gets another home or whatever, that the members' monies are doing that. It's not the members' money if the pastor is doing what thus says the Lord in the Bible. It's the blessings of God that's blessing the pastor. And in that congregation, there are members that are also being blessed. But there's a trust factor because of the perception that the black pastor is prospering off of their individual tithe money. And that's the problem.
Okay.
Therein lies the problem.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question, because you just raised another question. Are people commanded to go into a synagogue or a place of worship to be blessed? Or did Jesus say anything like that? Did he say anything to the effect that come on in and give a tithe and offering and you're going to be blessed? Or did he command anybody who was interested in living right and following the standards of God to go out and spread the word? Go tell it on the go tell it on the mountain. What did he promise them, apostles, and correct the people? Oh my God, I see this dashboard jumping. Did he tell people to go into the synagogue, drop your money off for a blessing? He was the blessing walking amongst them. Did he tell them nothing more? But now I'm here with you. I'm walking with you. I'm teaching you. I want you to go out and tell others. I don't see that. Here's some questions here. People saying, I don't see that In the Bible. Here's one saying, I've been preaching for 39 years. I don't see that. Okay, you may not see it. This is why the global vision for living today, and you see Colonel Harrison is talking loud, and you see I'm on the other end talking loud. You guys love that. That's why you're here every week. 142 episodes with Colonel Harrison alone, 142 over the past 2 or 3 years. This is what you get here. You get the truth. Yes, that is true. Jesus didn't tell anyone to go into the synagogue for a blessing. Those people already knew the law. Nobody had to tell them every week about anything. They were raised in the law. They walked in the law. When Jesus came, they were still under the law until, according to the Duhad Bible and other inscriptions, when that curtain was split in two, that was the end of that law. Jesus came and fulfilled the law, and that included tithes and offering. So now, whoever's on this dashboard, these questions, they know what they're talking about, but so do we. So, Colonel Harrison, can you answer that question? You said that they're supposed to go in and give their money to get a blessing. Is that what you meant?
Now, we attend church. Those who attend church as a synagogue attend church to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Okay.
The tithe is part of the requirements and commandment by God to help offset the expenses of the church. There's first reference in the Bible is Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20 about tithing. We go into worship, we depart to serve. Matthew 28 says, "Go ye therefore." Jesus sent his original 12 disciples out to minister to the people and deliver them from their afflictions and help the poor and the needy. And then he told them not to take anything with them but the clothing that they had. When they go to people's house, they receive them hospitality, bless the house. If they don't receive them, then take their peace with them. So we enter the worship, we depart to serve, and the tithe is just to help maintain the upkeep of God's building and a few other expenses.
Okay, let me ask this question again. Did Jesus tell them to go into, as you say, a place of worship to get a blessing? It's either a yes or no. It's just what it is. Did he tell them that?
No, he told them to enter the tabernacle, enter the synagogue, enter the house church, wherever, to teach people and to worship him. We don't come to church, attend church, to receive a blessing. We attend church, synagogue, wherever, temple, to worship the true and living God, to worship the true and living God. The primary purpose of the church is to worship God. It's a worship place.
Okay.
It's a worship house. Amen.
I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, I'm glad to hear it, because Jesus did not send those into the places where the Sanhedrin, Sadducees, all those people were. He called them whitewashed graves, and he told those 12 to stay out from amongst them. So, this is why Colonel Harrison and I bring you the best in everything. We're just not talking because we think we all that and more. We're talking so that you guys will really get an understanding. Caller 1022, yes, you are right. You have a point about that. Jesus did not, Jews back then, they did not worship in what Jesus called false temples. I mean, Jesus got out there and whipped some out of one, and he talked about them throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He warned them against wolves and sheep clothing. He warned them against them people. And guess what? It was the very ones that he warned ancient Jews back then, them were the one that hollered out, crucify him, because he was not a part of their religious establishment. So what we're doing 2,000 plus years later is trying to establish. Let's take the black up out of here, because anybody over 10 already knows the answer to this question. But let's take the black out. There's many pastors that people don't want to give money to. They're on TV. They've got 30, 40, 50,000 members and more. We will express that, because I see a lot of conversation on this dashboard. So next week we're going to pick up on the same topic, but we're going to drop the black out of it, because right now some of our churches here in California have opened. And last week it was a commentary saying it still wasn't nobody in them. Said only the white churches had people sitting up in there. Say, but the black churches that were allowed to open, ain't nobody sitting up in there. Let's bring that up again. Colonel Harrison, thank you. Thank you for coming on board. I kind of heard your voice racing, but I want to let you know we appreciate you coming and bringing the message from your perspective, and of course with the scriptures you have. But since we are modern day followers of Jesus, you and I and the rest that I guess appear to be scholars, we got to know what we're talking about. Because when you go out there in these streets, you don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know who you're going to talk to. And whatever you say, you got to cover Genesis to Revelation. And that's what you get when you attend global vision for living today information. God bless you. Thank you, Colonel Harrison. Dr. Harrison, thank you again. We will look to see you in spirit next week. Have a great weekend.